It's the Stick and Axe Show. Today we talk to golfer and doctor David Barber as his quest to become one of the top 10 doctor golfers in the United States. Is that a thing?
We're going to make it one.
We're going to find out. Plus, we play a game called Dead or Alive, and we have a great story about Jack Nicklaus. It's up next on the Stick and Axe Show.
This is the Stick and Hack Show. Conversation, discussion, debate, and golf talk from a stick, Mike Ryan, and the hack, Adam Grubb. Boys, you are up.
Hey, welcome in. Stick and Hack Show. I'm your host, Adam Grubb, the hack. That's Mike Ryan, the stick. Mike, somebody told me the other day that they wanted me to change the intro, and I told them to not listen to the show. I will never change what I say. I did.
They clearly have
I said, don't listen.
You. They clearly haven't met you.
Right. So listen to anything else then. I'm not going to change it. It's the most sophisticated golf show in the free world, from the greatest golf club in the world without the course. That's Stick and Hack. StickandHack.com. Become a free member today. The show presented by Manscaped. Go to Manscaped.com and use the code STICKANDHACK for 20% off their products and free shipping. More on Manscaped here in just a second. Guest today, Dr. David Barber. He's a doctor,
an husband. An actual doctor.
An actual doctor. Yes. What does that mean? Doctor? Doctor? What do you mean he's an actual doctor? What
is that? He's not a PhD. He's a doctor.
Okay, well, you've just offended PhDs.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it.
We've got to restart the
making
show.
Making the distinction.
We've got to restart the show. This is why you don't talk for the first 6 minutes.
It's fine. They'll survive.
He's an actual doctor. He's an emergency room doctor. Dr. David Barber. He's a doctor, a husband, a father, a golfer, a blogger, and now a guest on the Stick and Hack Show. He's played some of the top courses in the U.S., and it shows us that you're never too busy to follow your passion.
That's right.
And he's the everyday golfer, but he really epitomizes what Stick and Hack is about, and more specifically, what we feel the golfer should be like.
Yes. And also a stick.
He's also a stick, right? And we'll talk to him here in just a little bit, Dr. Yes. David Barber, which, by the way, rounds out, I believe, the fifth doctor we've had on the show, or I'm sorry, the first actual doctor, and true. Then other. Doctors.
Yeah, I guess. All right,
you're going to get a call from Chelsea Day. I can promise you that. That's done.
She's a doctor.
Is she? I don't know.
I don't know.
Anymore.
I have no idea.
I don't know. All right. Let's talk about something that's not as uncomfortable. Let's talk about manscaping. Let's talk about.
Yeah, that's less uncomfortable.
Let's talk about manscaping. Manscaped.com, proud sponsor of the Stick and Hack Show. 20% off. Use the code Stick and Hack. So, Mike, you and I both have these products. They were delivered to our house in this very, first of all, just a great presentation, awesome yes. packaging, and multiple things to help your body.
Yes.
Right? And we talked last show about the hack bod that I have. You have what? We don't know what you have. What would you classify your body? Are you a hairy person?
Yeah.
Okay. So you, this was an exciting moment for you.
Yeah. Probably more for my wife.
Right. That's a lot of information. That just flew our way. That's the only way you could go.
No. I have like a sweater.
Oh God.
Yeah.
This is the most uncomfortable. But now you don't because
now
of Manscaped.
I don't though. So it's, and that's why she's so happy.
What's cool about the trimmer is that it's 7,000 RPMs, and you have no idea how powerful that is until it is
part ripping of your, across your back.
Yeah, but with and it's completely safe. It's skincare technology.
Yeah, it is.
It's incredible, and it's helping the family jewels. It's helping the unsightly back hair. Yeah. It's helping you go to the pool or the beach or to be just a little bit freer with yourself without the
that's
pain
right.
of
you can
of,
have a dad bod and right. No one really cares as much.
Manscaped.com, 20% off. Use the code Stick and Hack. First up, Mike, Jack Nicklaus. You know, when you start to look into golfers and their stories and their history and this entire other side of their life, it is so fascinating to me. We all know what Jack did on the course, what Jack has done for golf courses, what he's done for First Tee and charities and just in general, a huge ambassador of the game and one of the top three most notable golfers of all time, I would probably say.
Probably the top.
Okay. That's arguable.
Maybe.
Point, right? But he's one of the top three, even if he's number one.
He's probably number one
right now. Relax. So he's number one.
Yeah.
Most known golfer, Jack Nicklaus. But what you don't know is his family status, what he is as a husband, what he is as a father, what he's like as a person. He's been married for a very, very long time.
Yes. To the lovely Barbara.
To the lovely Barbara. At 21 years old, they got married. Yeah. Which at 21, can you imagine yourself being married at 21? No, I didn't pay my parking tickets at 21. Got my car towed at Ball State University. I was honest to God.
I was happy to.
I didn't pay a parking ticket for a year.
Yeah, I was just happy to stumble home from the bar at 21.
Right, and and Jack was playing golf, was winning majors, and was married. So we're gonna talk about Jack Nicklaus's honeymoon. And this was a story that I found. I'm gonna go through it because it's fascinating to showcase that not only the love affair that they have and the love for each other they had then that they have now, but also how vital and how important and how focused he was on the game of golf, even on his honeymoon.
Yes.
And when you hear this, you're gonna say, my honeymoon wasn't that. That's not what I did. Where'd you guys go on your honeymoon?
We went to Germany and Ireland.
Okay.
But I didn't play golf.
Okay, so more on that. More
one distinction.
Yeah, that I was that's not one able. Distinction between you and Jack.
Yeah,
I went to Key West and hung out with the chickens and the roosters down there.
Okay,
in Key West.
Yeah, nice.
All right, so Barbara didn't know it, but Barbara is Jack's wife. But her dad had been saving $1 a week since she was born, and he had amassed $2,500 and paid for their wedding and then some, including part of their honeymoon. At the time, Jack and Barbara were in between their junior and senior years of college, and in fact, they were not even 21 yet. They were just in their I think 20 or so. Barbara knew that she wanted to do what she wanted to do for their honeymoon. She wanted to go to New York. Yep. She wanted to spend 2 weeks in New York City. And Jack, being the good husband, he said, "Okay, absolutely, 100%. Let's go to New York."
Smart man.
Barbara knew what she was getting into well before they were married. Even on their wedding day, Jack played 36 holes. Yeah, that's right.
I definitely would not have gotten away with that.
36 holes on his wedding day. No. Babe, I'll be there in a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that text today? What hole are you on? Yeah. Which we get normally on a weekend round, let alone on your wedding day. What hole are you on? I'll be there when I'm there.
I wouldn't have made it to the actual ceremony at that point.
Jack played 36 holes on his wedding day. That's a baller move.
Yes.
Fortunately, the best man was his playing partner, so he got Jack to the church on time. They spent that night at the Nationwide Inn in Columbus, Ohio, checking in as Mr. and Mrs. Jones for anonymity's sake. The name Jack Nicklaus still rang a bell in those parts even back then.
Yeah.
Day one of their honeymoon, starting from the hotel, they made it as far as Hershey, Pennsylvania. Jack knew a pro there. And they stopped and played a round of golf.
Nice.
Next stop, New York. Well, New York didn't last 2 weeks. 3 days. 3 days in New York. They kept busy during their time there, though. It rained. They stayed at the Astor Hotel. They had dinner at Sardi's. They saw some plays, including Camelot. They went shoe shopping for Barbara. Jack even drove the New York City streets in a convertible Buick Special. And they were bored. They went to a jazz club. They ran into a guy Jack knew, a guy who happened to be a Winged Foot member.
I just love that they did all these things and they were bored.
Bored.
Yeah.
You know why he was bored?
He wasn't playing golf.
Because he wasn't playing golf. So you can kind of guess what happened after he ran into a guy that was a member at Winged Foot. Barbara and him went to Winged Foot. It was pouring down rain, absolutely pouring. Jack says, "I'm telling you, there wasn't another soul on the golf course except Barbara, who walked with me and my caddy."
Yeah.
That's just a taste of the dedication and support Barbara has displayed during their near 6 decades of marriage. After that, the two decided to leave New York City for Atlantic City. You know what's on the way from New York City to Atlantic City?
I'm sure there's a golf course in there somewhere.
Pine Valley Golf Club.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Guess what happened? Jack played golf again.
Of course he did.
He drove right up to the gate, recognized immediately. There was one problem, though. They said, "Jack, this is a men's only club." Stag Club is what they were called today.
Yeah.
Women were not allowed in there, which I can't even fathom today.
No.
I think there's one club up in Chicago, Bobolink, I believe, is men only still.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And the women have to...
I don't know how that even...
Well, the women drop their husbands off in this little circular driveway, and then they leave. Honest to God. Bobolink. Anyway, so Stag Club, and women were not allowed in there, so no golf, right?
Okay.
No. The member very kindly let Jack play and took Barbara to the outside gates so she could watch him from the outside. Yeah. So he played. Now, you could criticize Jack for being insensitive, being selfish, being a man, saying, "I'm going to play golf."
Yeah.
But Barbara didn't mind. She laughs about it now. She said, "We were young and together. We had fun. We always had fun being together." After Jack shot 74, they then went to Atlantic City, got up the next morning, looked at the boardwalk and said, "This is it. We're out of there in 10 minutes." And they went back to Columbus. And that's how a 2-week honeymoon in New York City became a 6-day trip, including 2 destinations and 3 rounds of golf.
Which is incredible. I didn't get to play golf on my honeymoon.
So that's Jack.
Yeah.
Now, golf has been a central part of his life forever. But it is only a center part of his life because of his wife allowed it. His wife enjoyed it. His wife supported his quest. And it didn't hurt that he was, at that time, becoming one of the most recognizable figures in golf and prolific golfers of all time. And very rich on top of that.
Well, that's debatable.
Which part?
The rich part at that point.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
He probably wasn't getting rich. He was probably doing well, though.
I forget about that. When do you think that the... I don't think it was Tiger. I think it was before Tiger. But when did the money start to really come into golf?
I would say 80s? Tiger was when it really kicked in. Yep. But I would say, I'm going to guess and say it was probably in late 70s and into the 80s.
So he wasn't rich, but he was famous. And he probably had endorsement deals.
Yeah, stuff. He had plenty of the other things going on that he was making money off of, but golf was not what he was.
I just love that 2 weeks in New York City ended up being 3 days, 3 rounds of golf, or 6 days and 3 rounds of golf.
Well, the fact that all you need to know about this story is the fact that they were driving to New York, so he clearly wasn't killing it.
Right, from Columbus, Ohio.
So
there's Jack. That's the other side of Jack that you don't know. And you know, over the course of the next episodes here, Stick and Act Show, we're going to bring more stories like that of some of these golfers. Gary Player is one that I don't think a lot of people know truly how awesome he was as a person and all the things that he has done. And I think those are the stories of golf that more people need to know about. Speaking of stories of golf, let's bring into the conversation now golfer and doctor David Barber from GolferMD.com. David, welcome in to the Stick and Hack Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
Well, we appreciate it very much. Did you know that story about Jack? Does that sound like something that you could have gotten away with?
Gotten away with? My wife is very accommodating to my golf schedule, fortunately. More so than she should be.
Yeah, I think that's the typical answer. All right, I'm going to read your story here, okay? And so you are a doctor, you're an emergency room doctor, and you classify yourself as a golfer playing doctor. You went to medical school knowing that your golf skills weren't good enough to make you a full-time golfer. You needed something to do on the side, and so you became a doctor. Which is hilarious. When you were in med school, you read an article in Golf Digest which listed the top 100 golfers that were doctors, correct? And currently, you rank about 45th on that list with a handicap of 2.6, 1.8. Where are you at?
1.4 as of today.
Okay.
So I think I've bumped up maybe into the top 20 or so. Who knows?
So top
on that list.
Now, this list, is this official? Is this the official Dr. Golf World Rankings, or is this something that you've kind of conjured up in your head to give yourself ability to play more golf?
Babe, yeah, exactly.
Honey, I'm one of the top 20 doctor golfers of all time. Yeah, I got to keep playing. Yeah, I got to keep my stats.
Yeah. No, this list was back in 2007, but I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, good.
Exactly.
2007. 13 years he's held on to this lie.
I would.
Oh, that's amazing. We're proud of you. So you're trying to crack the top 10. You started residency as a surgeon, and your first day off in residency, you went to the golf course and you started getting pages about your patients, and you said, "Whoops, this isn't going to work. I'm not going to be getting paged while I'm on the golf course." So you switched to emergency medicine so you wouldn't get paged on the golf course. And your career and your wife allow you to play more golf than you should. And you have a blog, and you have this incredible photography of these courses that you play. You've played some of the top courses in the United States. Yeah. But golf is not just a passion for you. It's a way of life. It is something that you have centered your world around, so much so as to you switched your career path to accommodate your golf schedule. That's some foresight, man. Honest to God. That is something that we love here. Yeah. You hope to be considered more than just a golfer in life, but some days a golfer is all you want to be. David Barber, GolferMD.com. Thank you very much. What part of that story did I miss?
Hey, I think that's a pretty accurate story of my life so far. Hopefully it's not the end of my story, but that's a pretty good beginning.
Nice.
All right, so you have... a blog and this kind of these stories about golf, but you look at golf similarly. First of all, let me back up. You said off air right before we got on that you just started listening to golf podcasts and stuff back in April, right around the time the world stopped, and you had some more time in your hands, and you started listening to golf podcasts. Which of those that are out there, what's your favorite golf show currently?
Yeah, that's pretty easy. Chasing Scratch.
I'm going to give you another shot at that. We're going to give you one more.
Stick and Hack. Stick right. and Hack for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
There.
Maybe that's better. Maybe know your audience, David.
yeah.
You're on the Stick and Hack show currently, but Chasing Scratch. All right. So we'll give Chasing Scratch a plug. That's fine. But we expect them to do the same for us. So Chasing Scratch is apparently a great golf podcast, but Stick and Hack is your favorite.
That's right.
Correct?
Absolutely.
That's correct. Right. Yep. Number one.
That's what we thought.
Always will be.
My headphones cut out for a second, but I think that's what you said. So your golf blog, you're all about playing great, amazing courses, but also writing about the golfer's life. And that's what Stick and Hack is about. We're about the golfer, right? We're not just about golf. We're about the golfer in general. How did you get started in that? Where did that passion for writing and following, having people follow along with your journey start?
So my blog started a year ago. My wife was in labor and I was writing my first couple blog posts. it tells you about my passion for golf, maybe. Yeah.
He goes, "Hey, how's it going over there? You good? Okay, awesome. I got 500 more words to pound out here. Let me know when that's
exactly.
over."
Exactly.
That's great.
My whole life, I actually hated writing. I went to med school. All of my family, you know, my dad, my brothers, everyone's attorneys. And I went a different route thinking, I don't want to write. Writing is not for me. I hated the English class in high school, college. But then all of a sudden I started writing, and now writing is one of my favorite things to do. It's interesting.
So. Wow. That is wild. But you know, David, 1 point, did you say 1.6 or 1.4 you're at right now, index?
1.4
strong. So what's the journey been like for you to get to that point? Has golf come naturally to you, or do you have to work at it, or how have you gotten where you are as a player?
Golf obviously is a lot of work. I'm not a typical range player. I don't go out and pound balls. I don't spend a lot of time hitting the putting green and just practicing. I spend a lot of time, probably more than I should, playing. I play, I play 1 to 2 rounds a week.
Yeah.
And I think when I started med school, I was an 8 handicap. And I was able to play a lot less in med school and residency, but all of a sudden I started getting better. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So it's some ways come natural, but.
Yeah, that's good.
Did your improvement in the golf game hurt your surgery ability?
No, I think it's amplified everything in my life.
Of course it has. Of course it has.
Yeah.
All right, I can't go any further in this interview without asking you about your old nickname, Minnesota. Now, there's no judgment here, but we got to understand what the nickname Minnesota means. Now, when I hear Minnesota, I think, oh, is he's from the Midwest? No, he likes the Vikings. What you like? Cheese? I guess that's Wisconsin.
That's Wisconsin.
It? Minnesota. Next Why place. The hell do people call you Minnesota?
When I was a kid, I was fat. And
All right, then.
I'm an adult and I'm fat. Yeah. So, I mean, it's fine.
Hey, when I was a kid, I was fat. So Minnesota Fats, then, I take it.
Minnesota Fats, yeah. This, I guess, fictional pool player who, I think he was in the movie The Hustler.
Right.
Yeah.
But my family started calling me Minnesota because they didn't. My dad thought it was insensitive to call me Minnesota Fats. So.
You got to really dig for that compliment.
That's
there.
Awesome.
So Minnesota, but you're not fat now. You look fantastic.
Yeah, you look very fit.
Yeah, very fit.
Yeah, yeah. I weigh the same as I did in the eighth grade, and I was about 1 foot shorter in eighth grade.
I definitively do not weigh what I weighed in eighth grade at this point.
Right. But, most of us don't. Yeah. Well, good for you. Yeah. We're proud of you.
So, David, what's more stressful, surgery or an eight-footer to win a match for $25?
So yesterday I was playing with my brother-in-law. We were tied going. He's a great golfer. We were tied going into the final hole. We both had about 6 or 8 foot putts. And I drained mine and he missed his. So it was for $20. Not 25, but $20.
There we go.
Yeah.
So clearly surgery is more stressful than I would say.
Yeah.
It would be for me, period. No. But
if you answered anything other than surgery is more stressful,
yeah,
we would have some issues.
Yes.
Do you find golf and your job is very stressful? I mean, as emergency room doctor, you see a lot of stuff come through there, and a lot of trauma and a lot of issues. Is golf kind of therapeutic for you? Is it a way for you to get away from that day to day, that minute by minute, that kind of intensity, and just get out and play and be with nature?
Yeah, I was actually talking to my wife about that last week. I had a really busy week at work, and I got to spend a few hours on the golf course, and it was the only 3 hours of the week that I felt like, wow, my mind is blank and I can just relax.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah,
so yeah, golf definitely does that for me.
And that, I think that's what we've talked about so many times with other sports psychologists and others that have been on the show, is that that golf is therapeutic in so many ways. Whether it is for a veteran, whether it's for someone with a stressful job, whether it's somebody who's going through some personal trauma and heartache or whatever, that golf just kind of refocuses your mind into a whole different way. And for those that don't play the game enough, they might not understand that because they're frustrated, right? They go out and they don't play as well as they want to. They don't have the right mindset coming in. Like, okay, this is as good as I'm going to get. I'm not going to be on the tour. I might as well just go out and enjoy it. You are trying to get better, and you are trying to get to a zero index so you can be like Mike, which is really everyone's ultimate goal in life.
Yeah.
But you do see the craziness of the sport in itself, and you're just like, okay, I'm just going to go out and play golf and get away from my life for a little bit, right?
Oh, definitely. And that's a good t-shirt idea. I want to be like Mike. You should trademark that, Mike.
Done. Already. Shane can buy the URL. That's done. And then Jordan and
there
Nike.
There might be somebody.
Jordan
that,
and Nike are going to come
after
us.
There's one guy that might come after me on that one, but I mean, you know, he's not competitive at all either.
Well, here's the thing,
David,
that would be frustrating is that if I put that shirt out there onto the pro shop at stickandhack.com and it sells out within an hour, I'm going to be in a bad spot mentally, because the last thing I want, I don't care how much we make. I don't want I want to be like Mike's shirt to be the top seller of the pro shop. There's no
That's
chance.
True.
Of that. All right. So you made an appearance, on national TV on the Match 2 recently. You got your blog mentioned on air by, Ernie Johnson. And there was a nice little package there about you as a doctor and going through COVID and going through the issues that you've had over these last 3 or 4 months, but also some really cool press for you for a minute little package on the Match 2 with Tiger and Brady and Peyton and Phil. Phil Mickelson, the other guy.
The last. I like how he's the last one.
He's the last one.
He's the least notable.
I'm the worst. So tell us about that experience. You thought it was a joke when one of the producers called you, but you made the highlight reel.
Yeah. So my blog hasn't been going on for, since July of last year. And I honestly never checked my blog email. And one day I decided to pull it up, and magically I had gotten one email, and it was from the producer of Turner Sports saying, "Hey, we found your blog. We want you to, promote you on the mat." I'm like, yeah, that's not real. But then I called her thinking, "Hey, this could be real and I better check it out." And, sure enough, it was. So I was blown away by it for sure.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. They did a really nice piece about you and it was about your standing up and your job, your career, your passion, which is medicine and helping and through the COVID months here, it's been very, very important that the nurses and the doctors and the healthcare professionals get the love and the support that they deserve every single day, but specifically here helping us through this pandemic. But it was just it was a cool moment for you, I'm sure. What was it like to watch that and see yourself on the screen and hear them say, check out, he's got a great blog, golfermd.com.
It was incredible. I have to admit, we broke protocol and we had my family over. Probably shouldn't have during coronavirus, but it was really neat. Cool experience. I got tons of emails from it, including from Stick and Hack, which I'm grateful to be on your show. And yeah, it was a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think it's propelled my blog, I guess the brand a little bit, and was awesome.
Yeah. Well, good. That's great. That's really cool.
That's great. So David, you've played some of the top courses in the country, but what's more important to you? Winning a little scratch on the golf course or playing the best golf courses that you can play?
I would have to say playing the best golf courses for sure. Because I can play poorly at the best golf course and still be very happy with what I'm doing.
I like it.
And there's a big difference between being a scratch golfer and being a traveling scratch golfer.
Yeah.
I can be a scratch golfer on my home course, and I don't feel like that would be that difficult of a thing to accomplish. It is difficult, but
speak for yourself, David. What the hell? Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to get into this debate with you two guys. That's for sure. That's not that hard. You just play better.
Yeah. Just make more birdies. That's all there is to it.
Just hit the face of the club.
That's right. That's right.
So tell us about that journey, though. The courses you've played, I mean, and they're listed on your blog. And on your website, golfermd.com, but you have played some really awesome tracks. And how do you get on there? What's your travel schedule? How do you get that? How do you get that done? How do we have your life? I want to be like David. That's the shirt that we need.
Yeah. The trick is to pay a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So, I still haven't gotten to the point that golf courses are paying me to play their course.
Yeah.
So I played Bandon Dunes recently for the first time. That's the number one golf resort in America, and it's incredible. Everyone needs to go play it. Arcadia Bluffs is a course that everyone needs to play in northern Michigan. I played lots of courses in Hawaii. I need to make it out to Pinehurst to play some of the courses out there. There's so many. I'm going to Whistling Straits in a few months to play. It's tough because there's so many good courses, but I just have a list, and I just check off the list. Yep. And I try not to play the same course many times.
All those courses are on my list.
Yeah. So I think that's he's
not that I've played, but no, that I want.
Are you inviting
play.
Him? Are you going to pay?
What?
Mike's going to pay. Here's we didn't talk about this before the show. Mike's going to pay for you. You guys are going to play together. You're going to travel the country. Is that right?
Yeah.
It's on Mike's. There we go. It's on Mike's dime. He's got to sell a bunch of shirts first.
Yeah. And then gets sued.
So Bandon Dunes is one of those destination points. And do you find that the destination courses do live up to their hype? Because the courses that you're mentioning are ones that most golfers know are on everyone's bucket list. Yeah. Do they live up to the hype, or is it like, okay, this is just this is great. It was $300 for the round, but it's just still a golf course.
For me, they've universally exceeded my expectations.
Yeah.
So Bandon, I went to in the middle of March. It was freezing cold. We played our first round. It was in the mid-30s when we started the round, and it started hailing and then it started snowing somewhat, and it was just a blast. Mm-hmm. Pay $200 playing the snow seems ridiculous, but it was awesome.
Yeah, I had the exact same experience there. I played in October at Bandon Dunes 7 years ago or so, and we played all four courses three courses at the time within the 3 days. But we had all four seasons in one round. So we teed off. We had the exact – it was crazy. It sounds like a joke, but it truly is how that is. We teed off at 8:30, and I had the sock hat and the 8 layers on, and it was snowing and sleeting and just nasty. And by the 11th hole – it was 63 degrees, and then there was a rain shower. It was really, really strange. But Bandon Dunes is really cool because you've got a very different style of course. You got a links course, you got an ocean course, and then you've got what I would call a Midwest course. A lot of trees, very tight. You're in this woods. which is Bandon Woods, and then you got Bandon Trails and Old MacDonald. And it is a golfer's paradise for a lot of different reasons. You don't have to be great to play these courses. They're difficult, but they're not impossible. The cabins and the ambiance and the little bar there, and if you can get your buddies together and, and make a trip, that's it. And then there's a new course that was designed by the same people. In fact, we had one of the architects on the show, Sand Valley, up in Wisconsin. That's something I would put on your list as well, is Sand Valley.
I'm actually going there in September. So
oh, good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Nobody cares, David. Stop bragging.
Who did you have on? I think David Kidd was the main architect. But
So Craig, his name is Craig Haltom. And he was he has a small architecture firm and design firm, and he's the one that met with everybody else and got it handled.
Yeah.
He found the land up there. So go back to that episode. He was in an excavator.
He was in an excavator when we interviewed him. Actually,
yeah, he was an excavator. He was literally designing and building a course. He was Wisconsin.
Well, he was in Wisconsin. Yeah, that's where
he was building another one. So go back to that one. But yeah, Craig Haltom was a great guest. All right, so you blog about your approach to golf. You have incredible stories, but you also wrote a story about how brisket is like golf, and you have this this recipe of the perfect brisket, and then you somehow tied it into golf, which is a very stick and hack thing to do. In fact, we think you probably stole it from us. you love golf, but you don't. No, go ahead. Give us your excuse. How did this come about?
Yeah. First of all, you didn't have it trademarked yet, and so
that's not true. That's the longest process in the world.
It is. From experience, yes.
Yeah.
So you do. You have the mentality, though, that, like, look, everything can be centered around golf, and golfers are also pit masters, right? And they love brisket, they love meat, they love this whole deal.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so totally. Most of my blog posts are, you know, I write about golf, but I write about medicine, I write about life. I write a lot about food just because I love it. I recently got into cooking brisket, and one of my favorite things to do, it takes forever to do it, but there's some correlations there, you know. So basically, I just find ways that life is related to golf, and it's not that hard to do. It just comes naturally. Oh, wow. Like, okay, I'm slicing the brisket, and if I slice it thick, then it's going to end up not being quite as good. Same thing with my golf team.
That's good.
I like that.
We got there.
I didn't
know how we were going to get there, but he got there.
He got there.
Yep. You're a smart man.
That's good.
Dr. David Barber is the guest, golfermd.com, and a lover of golf, a lover of life, and on the front lines for us in the healthcare industry as emergency room doctor. And just really, you are the epitome of what we look at as a Stick and Hack member. By the way, you're a Stick and Hack member. What's your member number?
1688. You know that.
1688. You're a proud Stick and Hack member, and you bring to your life what you bring to your golf game, and your golf game to what you bring to your life. That's what we're about, and we're just so happy to have you. It was a great conversation, obviously, but continued success out there, and I hope that you crack the top 10 of the best doctor golfers in the world, which is a list that you've made up in your head. So you can play more golf, and it's the smartest thing.
Maybe we'll just make our own, and we'll just put him number one.
Oh yeah! Hey, good news. Mike and I just had a meeting seconds ago, and we've decided to make our own list of the top doctor golfers in the United States. And you are number one.
Dave's number one.
Hey, love it. Thank you. I appreciate
that. You're welcome. Yep. You're very welcome. That's what we do. David Barber, Dr. David Barber. Thank you. Enjoy your day. Enjoy the your travels and continued success out there, both in the medical profession as well as on the golf course.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great show, and I appreciate being on.
All right. Thanks, David. There he goes. David. Dr. David Barber, golfermd.com. Show brought to you by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com and use the code STICKANDHACK to save 20% off and free shipping with your manscaping products. All right, Mike, it's time for the clubhouse.
That's right.
And we are in, the game is called Dead or Alive. All right. Now, this is specifically for you, sir. Dead or alive. I'm going to give you two names, and you're going to tell me which one of those two names the person's dead.
Okay.
Okay. As we continue the positivity here on the Stick and Hack
this
show.
Isn't morbid at all.
No. All right. Dennis Haskins and Pat Moriarty.
Who?
Dennis Haskins and Pat Morita.
Thank you.
Pat Moriarty is dead.
Yes. Pat Morita.
Pat Morita.
Also known as Mr. Miyagi.
Right. Mr. Miyagi. And Dennis
is
Haskins.
Is actually dead.
Okay.
That is Dennis Haskins is alive.
You know who Dennis Haskins is?
I think I do, but I can't remember for sure.
He's Mr. Belding on Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah. He is.
Guys!
Yeah.
Do
have you seen
again.
Him lately?
Yeah, he's Minnesota Fats.
Yes. He is definitely Minnesota Fats now.
Fred Rogers and Bill Nye, dead or alive?
Bill Nye alive.
Fred Rogers is dead.
Fred Rogers is right. dead, unfortunately.
Tommy Makem and Arlo Guthrie.
I'm going to say Arlo Guthrie is dead.
False. Arlo is alive. Okay. Tommy is dead.
I don't
Tommy,
know.
Tommy, he's an honest. He was an Irish singer, songwriter. They're both musicians.
Oh. I knew Arlo Guthrie was, yeah. but I wasn't sure.
Tommy yeah, Tommy's an Irish jig guy. He's dead. He's no longer jigging. Donatella Versace and Liz Claiborne.
Liz Claiborne is dead?
Correct.
Yeah.
That was good.
That
guess.
Was almost trying to trip me up because.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah.
Because the other Versace
the
is
other
dead.
The other Versace is dead. Right. Yes.
Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Mesner Baker.
Jim Baker is dead.
False. Tammy Faye.
What? Yeah. I thought he died.
No, Jim Baker is alive.
So it was Tammy Faye that died.
Tammy okay. Faye died.
I knew one of them was dead.
She died in 2007.
Well, obviously, no. one of them was dead. Because
right, that's the
be
whole
a,
game.
On the list.
This would be the but. Dumbest game ever. I knew one of them was dead. Well. Placido Domingo and Luciano Pavarotti.
I believe Pavarotti died. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, cool.
I forgot. I had a brain
not
aneurysm
cool,
there. I needed.
Not cool, but you know what I mean.
Cool that he's dead.
Cool that I guessed right.
You're the worst. Evel Knievel and David Copperfield.
Evel Knievel's dead.
Yep.
For look obvious at, reasons.
Yep. yep. Kind of goes with the name.
He made it a lot longer than I think anybody thought.
He made a life choice.
He did.
And it cost him in the end.
He did. I can't believe David Copperfield's alive, actually.
Yeah. Those are two people.
Some
that
of the things, some of the
right.
tricks he pulls off.
Right. His career's dead.
Ouch.
Pretty much. Oh, I'm sorry.
Ouch, man.
Is that
I like
not
David
a fact?
Man.
Yeah, you
he's
would.
Like childhood magician.
You would. Stick and Hack Show, presented by Manscaped.com. Stick and Hack is the code. Save 20% in free shipping. Thanks so much, guys. Dr. David Barber, go to golfermd.com for him. And Mike, proud of you. Great show.
Great show, buddy. Peace out, guys.
The Stick and Hack Show is now over. Subscribe, rate, comment, and tell your friends. You are now free to go about your day.